Good morning. We're again glad to be here this morning. As a foundation, I would like to turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. I'd like to read verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I want to notice the phrase, the land of the living. I believe that speaks of the world, the life that we live in the world. And reading through the psalm, we see some characteristics of the land of the living. As you read through the psalm, you'll see it's a place of many burdens. It's a place of great dangers. It's a place of great need. And in this 13th verse, David gives us a summary of the entire psalm, which speaks of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I'd like to just testify today of the goodness of God. I become, as we all do, more and more aware of the goodness of God in our life each day. As we look back upon our life, we see the goodness of God. We see God's working in our life. We see God shaping our life. I have lived in the land of the living for 58 years. That's just over 21,000 days, 500,000 hours. And in that time, I have seen and I have experienced over and over again the goodness of the Lord, the grace and the mercy of the Lord. And I have no doubt in my mind that I stand before you because of the goodness and the grace, the mercy and the long suffering of God. If you consider the days that you've lived, you consider the hours that you've lived, God's long suffering is amazing. God's grace and mercy is amazing. But just think about the goodness of God in our own lives. In verse 1, he talks about the Lord. And it's not my purpose to go through this psalm. I'm just setting a foundation here. The Lord is our light. The Lord is our salvation. The Lord is our strength. And because of the goodness of God, I have experienced the Lord as my light. I do experience the Lord as my light. I have and do experience the Lord as my salvation and my strength. In verse 4, he talks about the house of the Lord. I've experienced that. Most people in the world today have never experienced the house of the Lord. But for over 40 years now, I have experienced the house of the Lord. That's the goodness. That's the mercy. That's the grace of God. In verse 5, he talks about beholding the in verse 4, he also talked about beholding the beauty of God. We've experienced that as well. Verse 5, he talks about God hiding him and God setting his feet upon a rock. And we read those kind of verses and we know what he's talking about because we have experienced the same thing. Verse 6, he talks about worship. We know what he's talking about. We've been privileged to experience that. In verse 8, he talks about seeking the Lord's face. And again, we, because of the goodness of God, we know what he's talking about. Verse 9, he speaks of the Lord's help. And we've experienced the Lord's help many, many, many times in our life. Talks about the Lord taking him up in verse 10 and laying hold upon him. And again, we've experienced that as well. Verse 11, he talks about the teaching of the Lord and the leading of the Lord. And by God's goodness, we have experienced that as well. Verse 12, he talks about the deliverance of God and how God has delivered us and how God has made a difference in our life. And as we look at our lives, what a difference. What a difference God has made in our life. We were talking last night with the Grabers, and as I look back, most of the kids that I hung around with are either dead or in jail or their lives are ruined. What a difference. What a difference God makes in our lives. I've been the recipient constantly of His love, of His mercy, of His grace, of His long-suffering, of His power, of His faithfulness and care for 58 years. And I've been blessed. I've been blessed of God. I can remember when our house burned down a few years ago and we left with our car and the clothes we had on our backs, and I can remember thinking, we have more than anybody here in our neighborhood. They still had their houses, they still had their possessions, but we had far more than they had because we have the Lord. But as I look back, I can see, and I like to look back and just think of God's hand upon my life and look back and see how God has worked all things together. You can't always see it, of course, when it's happening. But as you look back, you can see how God just brings everything together and how He just works everything out. And as I look back, as far back as I can remember, and that's getting less and less all the time, but as I look back, I can see God's hand upon my life prior to salvation. I can see God, how He protected me over and over and over again from many things, most of all from myself. And of course, I was unaware of it at the time. My mom is a saved lady, member of church there in Streamwood, where Brother Keller pastors. She married a lost man. My dad, as far as I know, left this life not knowing the Lord. And I was about 8 years old, and my mom would take us to Sunday school, my sister and I, and I didn't want to go. And I made it known that I didn't want to go, and I used as an argument that Dad didn't go, why should I have to go? And my dad said, you don't have to go if you don't want to. So I didn't go. From the time I was 8 till the time I was about 17, I didn't go to the house of the Lord. Had no desire to go. But as I look back, I see the Lord's faithful working all through my life. And between the ages of 15 and 18, I began to really question everything that I had ever been told of God. I had a grandfather who I was very close to, who, looking back, I see now was a very wicked, ungodly individual. I claim to be an atheist, but I listened to him intently, and I thought, now there's somebody who knows what they're talking about. And I just held on to everything he said. And I really, really began to even question the existence of God, and I would argue with anybody about the existence of God. And during that time, ages 15 through 18, through some experiences and circumstances, which I'll not go into, but I became a very, very angry, bitter individual. Again, I would argue about the existence of God. If I saw someone with a Bible, I would ridicule the Bible. I would listen to what they were saying, but only for the purpose of mocking and ridiculing and trying to argue with them. So I didn't want anything to do with the Lord, as none of us did before we were saved. But God was merciful. God was long-suffering. And at about the age of 15, 16, I began to head down a road of ruin, a road of destruction, becoming more and more angry, hateful, defiant, and blasphemous by the day. My mom was very sick at the point of death many, many times. And my brother was sent to my grandmother's house. My sister had run away. My dad pretty much, in order to deal with it, just stayed at work. So I was pretty much left to myself and taking care of my mom, and just became very, very, very angry. And again, just more and more questioning the existence of God. But as I look back, and without going into a lot of details, as I look back, I can see God's hand protecting me. Again, mostly from myself, preventing me from doing many things that I would have done. But God, in His grace, protected me. And about 16, 17, I would occasionally, because of a girl, I would go to church with her. And I went there with the attitude, I'm going to pick apart everything that preacher says. And I'd even take notes for that purpose, just to try to pick apart and argue with him about anything he said. And I could not stand, absolutely hated that preacher. And again, I would debate everything he said, and I was just becoming more and more and more angry all the time. And there came a point prior to salvation that everywhere I went, didn't seem to matter where, there was somebody giving me a tract, there was somebody opening a Bible and telling me what the Bible said and telling me how I need to be saved. Almost everywhere I went. And it got to the point where I was almost afraid to go out of the house. Because, again, everywhere I went, there were people I didn't know telling me about the Lord. So I heard it over and over and over again. My mom was always telling me. My grandmother was always telling me. My grandmother would say, I would go over to her house every day for lunch, and she would say, Danny, that's what they call me. Danny, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. And I said, I know, Grandma. I know. And later on, because of God's goodness and grace, I had the privilege of being her pastor for many, many years. And I'm always thankful for that. I can remember my mom being so sick and at the point of death and praising the Lord and telling me about the Lord. And I thought, you people are fools. You're thanking God and look at you. And again, just becoming more and more angry. But what was happening was the Lord was bringing me to the end of myself. And of course, that's where God brings us before He saves us. Then on February 14th, 1972, my grandfather, who again was claimed to be an atheist, I was very, very close to him, and he passed away. And I can remember when we got that phone call, I can remember going outside and just cursing the Lord, and again, just so angry, so defiant. And then on February 17th, which is my birthday as well, you can remember that. Send me a gift or card, whatever you want to do. But February 17th, did you get that, Jordan? February 17th. February 17th, 1972, at my grandfather's funeral, which was my 18th birthday. That's February 17th. My 18th birthday, I was at my grandfather's funeral, and again, I can remember asking my mom, is there going to be preaching at this funeral? And she said, well, of course. I said, I don't even want to be there. I said, he didn't believe God, that this is a mockery. I don't even want to be there. Well, needless to say, I was there, and I can remember the preacher. I could not tell you what he preached. I don't know if I was even listening to what he preached, but he preached, and all those people that had come up to me through the last year or so and witnessed to me, it was like all their voices were in my head at the same time. Just and I could hear it over and over and over and over again. But this time, I heard it in a way that I never did before. And it was in that funeral home in Frankfort, Kentucky, it's still there, that the Lord saved me in that funeral home immediately. I knew that not only did He save my life, my soul, He saved my life. And there was an immediate change. There was a radical change. My whole thought process changed. My whole attitude, my whole spirit changed. It was a drastic change. And I can remember going back to Chicago, where we live, and my friends and I, it was our custom, our practice, whatever, we would drink. But I can remember getting home on a Friday, and that was our night to live it up, as we thought. But I didn't want to. I didn't want to. But I didn't really have the courage at the moment to tell my friends that I didn't want to. So I told my mom, I said, just tell them that I'm sick tonight, I'm just going to stay home. And I thought, well, that gives me at least a week. So that's what I did. And then the next week, I told them, well, I went, and they were passing around the liquor, and I just passed it up. And they said, what's wrong with you? And I said, well, the Lord saved me. I don't want any part of this anymore. And of course, they had a good laugh at that. And I just left, and never again did I have a desire to go back there. Never again did I have that desire to drink. And the Lord put it in my heart that I wanted to serve the Lord. I didn't know how. I didn't know what to do. Went back to that church that I'd gone to a few times, that preacher that I hated. Told him that the Lord had saved me. He asked me some questions, questioned me, and he was thrilled. And I told him I just want to serve the Lord. And went to church for a year or so and kept asking him, how can I serve the Lord? And he said, well, what you need to do is you need to go to Bible college. Which I did. And that preacher that I hated so much, I loved him now. And that preacher that I disagreed with everything that came out of his mouth, now I found myself agreeing with everything he said. So I went to the college that he recommended, and it was not they did not teach the truth as you and I know it today. They did not teach church truth. They did not teach the doctrines of grace. They did not teach salvation by grace as you and I know it today. But there was a man in that church. I would come home on weekends, and he was a deacon, and he would slip me a book that the church, there was no way the church would approve the books that he was slipping me. And he would say, read this. Tell me what you think. And some of them were on church truth. Some of them were on salvation. And the church truth part, I said, well, that makes sense. And I began to see but this college isn't teaching that. Through God's providence, God, in spite of what the school was teaching, the Lord began to show me the truth. I began to see church truth. Knew about the doctrines of grace. I really got hung up on the atonement. And in theology class, the teacher said, it's time to write term papers. You get to pick a subject. And I thought, I am going to prove that the atonement is for everyone. And that's going to be my term paper. And in the process of that, the Lord began to show me differently. And concerning the doctrine of election and things like that. So then I began to question, well, this college that I'm at doesn't teach these things. The church that I'm going to doesn't teach these things. Does this kind of church exist? And I began to remember a man who, when I was 8, 9 years old in Little League, he always was telling me about the Lord. And he lived nearby, and I thought, well, I'm going to go by and see him. I haven't seen him in years. I'm going to go by and see him, and I'm just going to tell him what has happened, and maybe he knows where I can find this kind of church. So I went and knocked on his door and told him that the Lord had saved me, and we sat down and we talked, and I told him the things that I was beginning to see as far as the church, and I was telling him these things, and he just sat there and smiled and told him what the Lord was showing me about salvation. And he said, if you come here tonight, it was on a Wednesday, he said, if you come here tonight, we have church services in our house here. I believe you'll find what you're looking for. And I did. And what was meeting there was Faith Missionary Baptist Church when they were mission in that house. So the Lord, from a man who I met when I was 8 years old, the Lord brought me back to him and led me to a church. And then, of course, I was baptized and became a member of that mission work. So in spite of everything the college was teaching, in spite of everything the church was teaching, the Lord showed me the truth. So I became a member of the mission there in Streamwood, which today is Faith Baptist Church of Streamwood. And the Lord continued to teach me, giving me more and more and more love for the truth, making me more and more zealous for the truth. I was still going to the Bible college. Well, I began to really have a problem with what they were teaching. And I shouldn't have done it, but I did. I didn't know any better. I would raise my hand in class just to purposely ask questions I knew they couldn't answer because of what they believed. Well, I was told very soon that I was not allowed to ask questions in class any longer. You just keep your mouth shut. And then I was a few weeks later, I was told that I couldn't talk to anybody in the school about what I believed. And he said, if you can't follow those rules, then you need to leave now. And I said, well, I'll just leave now. So I left, and the Lord just was showing me more and more and more all the time. And He caused Sharon and I's paths to cross. In 1977, we were married June 11th, if anyone wants to. February 17th, June 11th. But we met and we're married, of course, and she's my best friend. And Lord, I thank the Lord that He's given me a wife that has biblical convictions and who has, and we have served the Lord or tried to serve the Lord together. So that brings me to the majority of my life at this point has been in the ministry. And that's amazing. That's amazing to me, and again just magnifies the goodness of the Lord. The Lord, in His grace and mercy, gave me the privilege of going out of the church there in Streamwood, which I went to when they were just getting started as a mission. We went out of there and did mission work, and a church was organized. It's no longer in existence today. And the Lord has allowed me, counting that church, the Lord has allowed me to pastor four of His churches. As I look back, I see the Lord's teaching me, training me, molding me. I look at every church that I have pastored, and I do believe that the Lord sends the pastor that the church needs at that time. I believe that. But I also believe that the church that the Lord sends a pastor to, it's also the church that that pastor needs at that time as well. And it all goes together in training and teaching and molding the pastor. But as I look back, I have been so blessed because God caused men, humanly speaking, I don't know why, but God caused men like Don Titus and Eugene Clark and Harold Harvey and Garner Smith and Lee Hamill, those specifically, to take an interest in me when I was young, in my early 20s, and pastoring. And they began to mentor me. Again, the only one left in that group is Brother Hamill. And as I look back on those early years, I thank the Lord often for those men who took an interest in me and encouraged me and taught me so very much. Then events after we did mission work, we came, the church in Streamwood, the pastor resigned, who was also that man who talked to me when I was 8 years old. And that man would end up being disciplined from the church in Streamwood about a half a dozen times while I was the pastor. He really was quite a troublemaker, but the Lord used him to, again, get me into that church, for lack of a better way to explain it. But the Lord used these men, and then we would go back. When the pastor resigned, that the church in Streamwood called me to be the pastor. And we went there, and all total, we were there in Streamwood for 22 years. And there in the church in Streamwood, there was at that time, not so today, but at that time, there was so much opposition. So much opposition to the truth. And almost every message that I would preach would be challenged, would be debated. Someone would want to argue something at the end of a church service. And I soon found out that after the message, I was more than likely going to be in a debate afterwards. So I believe, looking back, I didn't know it at the time, but looking back, I believe the Lord was teaching me, because my study habits were horrible. I hated school, but the Lord was teaching me, you need to study. And I got to the point where I would look at word by word in a verse. I would look up the word. I would study the word. And I got to the point where I just studied every single word. And pretty soon, the debate stopped. But the opposition didn't stop. And as I look back, again, most of these people are long gone. As I look back, the Lord put some of the most ornery people in my ministry at that time, some of the most mean-spirited and difficult people that I dealt with in a church. And again, as I look back, the Lord was teaching. The Lord was using those individuals to teach me. And through the years of pastoring, and mostly during that time, I was threatened. There were plots, there were schemes to get us to leave. And through it all, God protected, God provided, God blessed. And as I, again, look back, I see the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the long-suffering of God. And there have been many battles, I mean face-to-face battles with Satan, but through it all, God's grace was always there to give us the strength we needed at that time. Through the years in the ministry, there have been times of great financial needs, great financial struggles. And though at the time I may not have thanked God like I should have, I look back and I do thank the Lord for those times as well, because the Lord supplied in just unbelievable ways. Ways that Brother Keith and I were talking earlier today, ways that you just can't imagine how the Lord supplies. I gave up a long time ago trying to figure out how the Lord's going to supply a need. Because he'll do it in ways that you'll never think of. Just need to trust the Lord. But the Lord has always supplied our needs. There have been times when the brook has dried up And God supplied our needs. There have been many storms. I've been preaching since 1975, pastoring since 1976, 1977. And there have been many storms, many valleys, many challenges, many sorrows, many heartaches, much anguish. There have been wounds. Wounds, some of them you still have the scars from. There have been lost friendships amongst preachers, amongst others. There has been discouragements. But through it all, God has always had that well in the desert to drink from. It's always been there. May not have always seen it, but it's always there. There's always been a table prepared in the wilderness to feast from. There's always been the handfuls of purpose that God drops in our way to encourage us and to strengthen us. And I look back and I see those times and all the goodness of God, the mercy, the long-suffering of the Lord. I have seen, as you have as well, any of us that have lived any length of time, we have seen the ravages of sin. We've seen what sin can do to lives. I can think of almost innumerable people that we have ministered to, and sin has just literally ruined their lives and destroyed their lives. We've seen saints of God suffer terrible things, suffer terrible disease, and we have been with them when they've taken their last breath, and many of them we loved so dearly, and the Lord took them home, and God gave me the privilege to preach their funerals. And again, through it all, God's grace has been sufficient. God has been so very good to us. I have seen times of, I believe, real revival in some churches. And I just thank God that I was there. I've seen people saved. I just thank God I was there. What a blessing to be there when someone is saved. I've seen God's people grow. And that's a wonderful thing to behold. Again, not everybody sees these things. You and I are privileged individuals. And it's all by the grace of God. As I look back, God has given me the privilege of pastoring some great saints of God, some great friends of the Lord. Many of them have gone on to be with glory, into glory, and I think about them often. And just thank the Lord again for the privilege that I have had to even know them, to even be associated with them, let alone being able to pastor them. I've known people who have been tremendous friends of the Lord's churches. What a privilege to be able to experience these things. God has given me mothers and fathers all over the place. There's mothers and fathers. There's brothers and sisters. And the goodness of God. And the family of God means, and my church family, and those we fellowship with, means so much more than earthly family. Looking back, I see God's protecting hand in my life. And again, I pastored 22 years in Chicago. Most big part of that time, there were battles. There was opposition. And again, that's, please don't misunderstand me, that's nothing against that the church that's there now. But the church that's there now had to endure an awful lot, and a lot of opposition, a lot of obstacles. But I believe, again, that the Lord sends men to churches, not only for the church, but also for the man's. And I look at each church, and I can see why God had me there. And I look at Faith Baptist Church, and Streamwood has my training ground. And again, basically 22 years there. And that's where the Lord taught me to stand. That's where the Lord taught me to study. And I view it as my training ground, and not that training is over. Never is. Not that teaching is over, it never is. But that was my main training ground. And by the time I left the Chicago area, I was worn out. I was completely exhausted, somewhat discouraged. I didn't know it, but I needed rest. I desperately needed rest. Not the kind of rest where you don't do anything, but I desperately needed rest. I desperately needed spiritual refreshment. God called us to Zohar Baptist Church, and one of the reasons, one of the main reasons that I was there was it was there that God gave me rest. It was there that God gave me refreshment. It was there that God gave me the reviving that I needed to continue to serve the Lord. And we were there for 4.5 years, and then of course God called us to home. Baptist Church, where we are today. But again, as I look back on my life, and I would challenge you to do that, to just look back on your life, even prior to salvation, and see God's hand in your whole life. My whole life has been in the hand of the Lord, and still is. And it's such a blessing to look back and just see how God works everything together. When things happen and you wonder, well, why did that happen? It might be 10, 15 years. You can look back and, okay, I see that. I see where it all fits now. And it does. God just kind of puts it all together. And looking back, you see God has been so good. God has been so good to each one of us. God has been so, so merciful, so long-suffering to each one of us. And if that doesn't give us the desire to serve the Lord, nothing will. I mean, how can we not want to serve a God who has just saved our life over and over and over and over again? I would have ruined my life innumerable times. Before salvation and since salvation. There are many, many times that you just, one decision can ruin your life. One decision can ruin your life. And God has spared us from that. People smarter than us have made decisions that have ruined their lives. But God has spared us over and over and over. And looking back on that, God is so good. God is so merciful. God is so long-suffering. And I and you, we have no idea what the future, what's going to happen. One phone call can forever change our lives. One incident can forever change our lives. But it's just encouraging to know that whatever it is, He's there. And He has my life in His hand. And He's molding me. And He's conforming me. And He's doing that with all of us. He's conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. Okay. Brother Keith, would you dismiss this real quick?